I pray, as I speak, that the power of the Holy Ghost be released in more than sufficient measure. Power to heal, power to deliver, power to break yokes, power to free men, so that they will become doers of the things which they hear, and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver this word, that I will do it indeed with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving each individual blessing in their individual life, agreed with me and said,
amen.
I have a landmark message for us today, and I have entitled it Rooted and Grounded in Love. In recent times, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, by His mercy and grace, has blown up this truth in my heart, and I believe it's a landmark. It's a place you have to get to in order to manifest this power of the Spirit without measure, that the whole church and the whole earth, the whole church, at least those who know about it, are eagerly awaiting. The earth is waiting for it. They don't know what they're waiting for. But the Bible says the whole of creation is groaning and travailing, is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole earth truly is waiting. Yesterday we were watching on television, just briefly, they're having this, I think they're still there, in Davos, in Switzerland, and they're having this World Economic Forum. And one of the guys, I think his name is Schwab, he's a German guy, he's the guy who organizes it, and he said that so much is coming together so fast, and how the human race needs to be able to cope. He called it the fourth industrial revolution. And he said something that touched my heart. And I said, God, you're talking to people. He said this. He said that technology, both at the, ICT, the computer level, then at the biological level, which is genetics, and at the nanotechnology level, robotic artificial intelligence, everything is happening so fast. He said that the human race needs to be able to know how to cope with this revolution that is coming, so that we will remember what makes us human. And then he said something that touched me. He said a lot of things, but this one stood out. He said, so that we can relate in love to one another. He said, we shouldn't get so involved with the computer and the phone and this, and so that our interaction is only in cyberspace. So that human one-on-one interaction with love, we lose out on it. And the more we get technologically minded, the more sometimes, if we're not careful, we get separated from reality. Even the children these days, when we were kids, we used to read books. Kids hardly read books anymore. Everything is online, and everything is computer game. And you're playing with something that has no reality. It is not reality, like you said. It's virtual reality. There's a word I don't use. I deliberately psyched myself not to use the word fantastic. In fantasy. I deliberately don't use it because it means unreal. When you say something is fantastic, it means, I know what we mean, it means that it's a great thing. But really, the real meaning of that word, it comes from the word fantasy. It's not real. I prefer the word wonderful. Jesus is not fantastic, he's wonderful. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Rooted and grounded in love. Turn with me in Ephesians chapter 3. Here, Paul gives us what I call a road map. It's a spiritual, that's why I call this a landmark message. A landmark is a sign you see on the road when you're going somewhere. For example, if you're going to Lagos, from Lagos to Ibadan, if you're coming from the Ibadan end, you're going to pass Guru Maharaj, that's a landmark. You're going to pass Ogere. You're going to pass Shagamu. You're going to pass Redeemed, you know, before you finally end, you know, Mountain of Fire and some of these other places, you know, Deeper Life and all of that, that are landmarks. You know, so if you're describing the road to somebody who has never been on that road before, you'll be able to tell them, you say, you ask him, where are you now? You say, oh, I say, have you passed Redeemed? You say, yeah. I say, okay, you are close to Lagos. Have you seen Deeper Life? No, I've not got to Deeper Life. You say, well, you still have some way to go. You can locate where the person is by locating the landmarks. Spiritually, it's the same thing. We have to be able to know where we are and locate landmarks of where we are to be able to know. And this is more on an individual level than it is on a corporate level, even though it's true on both levels, you know, where you are spiritually, and so that you can see how near you are to inheriting the spirit without measure of which we speak. And so Paul, praying for the Ephesians, he says in verse 16, he's praying to God the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Let's read from verse 16. That he would grant you, I didn't hear you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and that's the title of this, that's where I got this from, is a key, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that's where we're going. That's destination, but look at the route. Look at the path to which to get there. Rooted and grounded in love. Christ dwelling in your heart by faith. We're going to break all these things down in a minute. You know, rooted and grounded in love. Comprehending, I think, is one of the most important things. With all saints, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? And to know the love of God, the love of Christ, which is passeth knowledge. I deliberately, you know, went to go and check. Although I knew it before, I preached this some years ago, you know, but not certainly with the precision and the urgency with which I'm preaching it now and teaching it now. You know, the word knowledge. The word knowledge there is not epignosis, it's gnosis. The word, the love of Christ which passes knowledge, is not epignosis, it's gnosis. There are two Greek words, and well, there are probably more, but you know, two major Greek works. One is epignosis, which means precise, exact, complete knowledge. Then the other one is just gnosis, which is the word knowledge. For example, when we talk about science, you know, and technology, is gnosis. Gnosis, just knowledge. But the Bible speaks of epignosis. And so, what is Paul and what is the Holy Spirit saying to us here through the Apostle Paul? First of all, let me define, just, you know, for the purposes of completeness, love again. Pastor Kunle mentioned it during the Bible study. And it's very interesting how that Bible study just dovetailed, because I'd had this message before I saw his Bible study. So I found it extremely wonderful that God was able to dovetail these things together. Let's of all define love. I'm going to define it in a very simple way. You know, love is seeing, feeling, and doing what God would do in every situation, because God is love. Now, of course, seeing means revelation and wisdom. You know, feeling is compassion, and then doing requires power, you know. But in a very simple way, that's what love is. Last week, or the week before, I shared with us a seeing what God is doing. You can't walk in love if you don't see what God is doing. You know why? God is love. Then, when Pastor Kunle was teaching this morning, he quoted a scripture from Colossians chapter 1, which struck me. You know, as he was ministering, and I saw that it was very important to add it to what I'm about to share with us. Let's quickly go to Colossians 1:8. We'll cut right back to Ephesians 3. Who declared unto us, I did not hear you, your love in the flesh. So there is a love in the spirit. And obviously there is a love in the flesh. See, a lot of what people call love is not love in the spirit. It's love in the flesh. Because it's not guided by the wisdom of God. It's not guided by the compassion of God. And it's certainly not empowered by the power of God. You know, you can have a lot of human feeling, human sympathy. And you find that all over the world today. You know, I've shared this before, but I'll just hit it running, you know, tangentially. You know, for example, you see this inordinate love for animals. See people carrying dogs and cats, you know, and cuddling them. They sleep in bed with them. Not necessarily sex now, although there's some, that's bestiality. That does happen, you know, strangely. You know, that I don't understand. Don't want to understand. You know, that's the horrible part of human nature. But you know, the Bible has it. God knew the depth of depravity to which the human heart could sink. So he put it inside the Bible. I remember reading as a young Christian. I'd never, you know, I came from Nigeria. I'm a nice Nigerian boy. You know, very conservative. And can people do this? But they do. You know, anyway, to go back to my point, it is very, you see this love. There's nothing wrong in caring for pets and caring for animals. I think it's correct, you know, but it goes overboard. Wait, they even care more about animals than they do human beings. Then that's not love anymore. It's a distortion. The same thing, you know, even love for humanity. You know, they love the creation more than they love the creator. You know, humanism. Thank you, Pastor G. You know, it is great. Love for, you know, people are fighting for human rights and you know, they want this and they want that and they say it's love. It's not love. It's certainly not love in the spirit. Absolutely. That's the point. Are you listening to me? There is a love, and that's why the Holy Ghost, you know, defined it in this way. There is a love in the spirit. It's not just a general human love and human affections and all of that. And it is that love I'm talking about as you have to be rooted and grounded in. It's not the human affection and care that people have for each other. The Greek words love are agape, there's philia, there's eros, which is sex, you know, physical love. And then there's another one, I don't know, I don't know the word offhand, but it's the same kind of love that the mother has for the baby. For example, women love their children. There is a natural, you know, they call it maternal instinct. It's exactly, watch this, it's exactly the same love a lioness has for her cubs. You come near her cubs, she'll kill you. Because she has a maternal instinct to look after the cubs. When a dog just has her babies, you know, there's a natural maternal instinct to preserve the something that makes the bitch. That's what a female dog is. Just in case you didn't know. People use it so carelessly these days. That's what we mean. You know, that makes the dog protect her puppies. You know, and that dog is not nice. But it's love. But it's not in the spirit. Are you listening to me? It's very important for us to understand that there is a love in the spirit. And it's only God who can give it. Are you listening to me? It's not one that you just get. So, now let's get back to Ephesians. And what I'm going to do now is, I want to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, paraphrase what we have read in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19, and then break it down verse by verse by the help of the Holy Spirit and give us a road map, you know, as to how to get to where God wants us to get to. And as I was meditating on this, I wrote it down. These days, when I get these things, I just write them down so I don't, otherwise, I won't even remember, you know, accurately what I received, you know, since it's not me who's given it to me, it's God who's given it to me. So I said, love is seeing, feeling, and doing what God would do in every situation because God is love. Now, when you become rooted and grounded in love, what happens is that God enables you to know the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, watch this, of God's love towards his people, irrespective of their knowledge. That's really the spirit of what Paul is saying there. When he says the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, it means that God loves people whether they know something or not. You see, it is a love of God which passeth knowledge. It goes beyond their knowledge, you know, whether how well they know God. Or, that's why he said in one place, I think it was in Hebrews, he said that, for they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. And I've come to see, and I'm still seeing, God loves people, though. God is love. Even people who don't know him. God was telling me the other day, he said, see in every sinner a potential saint. So when you are relating to them, don't relate to them as sinners. Relate to them as potential saints. He's not a saint yet, but he's a potential saint. And what you want to do in your relationship and in your fellowship with them is to see how you can bring the saint out of them. You want to translate the saint from his position, the sinner rather, from his position as a sinner to his position as a saint. Then even the Christian, you want to treat every Christian as a potential gold Christian. He may not be gold yet, but you want to do everything you can to bring the gold out of him. You know why? It's in him. The problem is that many times they don't develop it. Now, sadly, and this is very regrettable, but it is true, many people don't allow God to do that work. But on our side, we are to cooperate with God to do the very best we can to bring them out. That's what the Bible means when it says to know the love of Christ, which is greater than the length. It is, you know, the length, the depth, the breadth, and the height. You know, he's using those terms figuratively to explain how big the love of God is. It's immeasurable. The depth, the length, the breadth, and the height. You know, I begin to understand so many things. You know, how the kind of person God is. Because God is love. When he sees people, that's why he made us. I shared this when I was sharing with the Saint Anne's young girls. They said they're young girls, they're no longer old. You know, association, yes, last week. And we're talking about Thanksgiving and fellowship. They were excited to see each other. They were having a ball, enjoying themselves, talking about old times. And God told me, he said, that's the reason for creation. Fellowship. Fellowship is the cream of life. No matter how much knowledge you have. And that's what that man in Davos was talking about. Klaus Schwab. Yesterday. No matter how much technology you have. No matter how, once it becomes depersonalized. And it becomes dehumanized. It doesn't have meaning anymore. Because the reason for life is love. No matter what you have, if you don't have someone to share it with, it's meaningless. You must have. And that's why, you know, I shared this about the mystery of Christ and the mystery of the church. He said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a great mystery. The Son, there were three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Son left the Father and the Holy Spirit. And then he became flesh to become one with man. Just like a man leaves his father and his mother. and he now becomes one with his wife. He says it's a great mystery. It's the same principle. And what God is trying to tell us there is that the reason why did God make man?
Now, the three persons of Godhead,
you know, to take that illustration, to stretch it a little bit further, if you have the whole of Lebanon, for example, I used that illustration last week, I'm going to use it again, and it's only you alone, you'll be most people. But let's say even there are three of you, it still won't be fun. You need more people. What makes life, what gives it its cream? Thank you, darling. It's flavor. It's having a company of people you can enjoy it with. If you don't have people to enjoy it with, it makes no sense. That's why God was not satisfied with being three persons. So he had to make more Elohim. He didn't just make more angels. He didn't make more robots. He didn't make more machines. He made more Elohim. Let us Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim. Elohim is the plural word for God in Hebrew. In the meaning, gods, not plural, not singular. In the beginning, Elohim made gods, made the heavens and the earth. And then in the beginning, Elohim said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So what? We can have fun with them. That's a simple way of putting it. It's just simple. God is a fun God, you know. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants us to, and so he goes about making planets. And you know, when I look at the planets, You know, those who did physics and a little bit of cosmology and all of that. I'm not an expert in cosmology, but I know a little bit. You know, I ask myself, I think this doesn't make any sense. They are billions. We are billions. This planet, this Earth, is just one tiny little planet in one tiny little solar system in this Milky Way galaxy. Then there are billions of galaxies like this one. Or with their own individual suns and planets that are revolving around them. Each day they're finding out new and new, they call them Earth-like planets. To what use? What is it for? Is it just to make the heavens nice? It's to be occupied. Now you can understand of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. The things are going to keep increasing. Is it going to keep increasing? I'm going to have more and more. You see, that's why the first thing God dealt with is the sin problem. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So that we can deal with sin. All we're doing now is we're mopping up. So that when the kingdom begins, there will be no more possibility of another rebellion. Then we'll really have fun. Occupy the planets, flying all over the whole place. Wow, what a life. I don't know about you, but heaven is all going to be boring. And that's one of the reasons why, it's just by the way, Jara, get a glorified body. People who don't have glorified bodies are going to be restricted. And it's not because God is wicked, your body just can't take it. That's why one star will differ from another star in glory. There is the order of your resurrection and there's going to be the glory of your resurrection. And that's going to determine how well you can participate in the kingdom to come. People with flesh and blood bodies will be bound to their planets. They will see some things, but they can never participate in it. It's just like living in Nigeria and always seeing the pictures of Los Angeles and the picture. You always see it on television, but you have never been there. That's how it's going to be. For eternity. You will see the picture. You will see guys who are in the same church with you flying off, but you can't go. Because your body doesn't have that kind of equipment. You didn't have that order of resurrection. It's truth. This is not fine. This is reality. It's revelation knowledge. I've just given you epignosis on the revelation. That's why I don't play with my resurrection. Paul said, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. If in this life only we have up in Christ, you think I'm mad? It's only me and Peter. I don't know how to lead about a sister. I'm fighting for one that's much more important than what you are fighting for. I'm not joking with my resurrection. Amen. This life is important, but the life to come is more important. I'm going to repeat that. You don't hear it everywhere these days. You hardly hear any preaching about the life to come. This life is important. Very important, because it actually lays the foundation for the world to come. But then the life to come is more important, because this life is only a vapor that appears for a little while. But the world to come. That's why God made us in His image and likeness. So we can enjoy. We can have fellowship. There will be no limit to what God will be teaching us and showing us. Every day is another day. Hallelujah. I like that song. You know, oh Lord my God. It says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. But we've just started. We just started. 10,000 years is nothing. 100,000 years is nothing. 1,000,000 years is nothing. 1,000,000,000 years is nothing. Thank you, darling. But I'm trying to put it in a numerical perspective. When you say eternity, what do you mean? You can't calculate it. Of the increase of His government, there shall be no. How many want to partake of that? You should take your Christianity to another level. So stop fighting about, you know, you'll be fighting about two pieces of land on this tiny planet and lose your inheritance. see how stupid it is. You see us fighting, we'll be fighting over a car, fighting over something, and you got hold of the whole of eternity in front of you. Nothing in this world is worth fighting over that will make you lose your eternal inheritance. What exactly, honey? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and incessantly he won't gain it? And then loses his soul. The funny thing is that he won't even gain the whole world. As rich as Bill Gates is, he can't get the whole world. He owns a lot of things, but he doesn't own everything. No, however rich and successful you become, you cannot own the whole world. Is it worth your soul? Is it worth your resurrection? I'm going to move quickly. I'm going to read this from the God's Word. Bimbo, do you have God's Word on your computer there? You know, He says, I'm asking God to give you a gift from the wealth of His glory, and I pray that He will strengthen you with inner strength and power through His Spirit, that Christ will live in you through faith. I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. This way, now this is the part of it I like, with all of God's people, you will be able to understand how wide, how long, how high and how deep His love is. You will know Christ's love, which goes far beyond any knowledge. I am praying this so you will be completely. We are filled with God, but not completely. We have the Holy Ghost too, but not without measure. This is the roadmap. This is how I thank God for the Bible. It doesn't leave us in darkness. It tells you step one, step two. Now, let's go back and begin to break these things down. Number one, Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Now, what does that mean? I'll break it down without going into too much detail because we're well taught. And for those who are watching and listening, go to our website. There are a lot of materials
on the website. You know, Bimbo, you can put that on the screen and scroll it down as they're listening now. You know, you can go. There's so many articles on love, perfection, spirit, soul, and body. You know, if you go to our weekly Rhema and there's a search engine there, put whatever it is you want to learn about. Just put it inside the search engine. Say, perfecting love, Christ dwell in my heart by faith. Just put it there. Articles that concern that will come out. And you'll be able to study, you know. So, that's why I won't go to more detail now. But let me just tell you. When you say Christ dwell in your heart, he's not talking about being born again. Far from it. These people are already born again. So, how can he be praying for people who are born again that Christ will dwell in their heart by faith? He's not talking about being born again. He's not talking about, you know, having Christ in your heart and being a child of God. No! They're already children of God. He's talking about having the Christ nature, you know, dwelling in the soul, the mind, the will. When you say heart there, heart is a composite term in the New Testament that is used sometimes distinctly, sometimes interchangeably of the spirit and the soul. So when the Bible talks about inner man, talks about heart, he's talking about many times the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotion. Sometimes talking about spirit and the soul. You know? So when he says heart, he says the Christ. You see, when you got born again, Christ came into your spirit. Zoe, the life of God. Now he says he wants that Christ now to move from your spirit into your soul. That Christ may dwell. And observe the importance of that word dwell. It means permanently abide. He's not talking about visitation. It's not that Christ will visit your heart. He said that Christ may dwell. Now, the consequence of that is that you become rooted and grounded in this love in the Spirit. Do you know what it is to be rooted and grounded in something? It means you are unshakable. No matter what happens, you never move out of love. What? Rooted and grounded in love. It doesn't matter what people do. Something happened recently with some people and my wife and, you know, and some other people. You know, I can't go into details, you know, for privacy, but, you know, and I said this to my wife. I said, love never fails. And she said, that's what I told that person to do too, that love will never fail. They should just keep walking in love. Do you know what happened? This other person that was behaving in a very negative way, you know, all of a sudden, because they expected a response of animosity, a response of strife, a response of quarrel, a response of spite. But what they got was a response of love. So, you know what the love did? They just changed completely and sent a present to this person and started talking about how much they love them and everything. I say, you see, darkness can never overcome light. It's not possible. It's not possible. Hate can never overcome love. It's not possible. You think God just is stupid when he says if they slap you on the other cheek, turn the other one? You think he wants them to beat you up? No. He's saying release the power of love. You know, if he slaps the first cheek and you turn the second one, but while you are turning it, you are praying. Etiquette, Pastor Adorin. As he slaps the first one, you just say, Father, have mercy. Give life to them. Lord, I minister the blood, the life, the power of the Spirit upon them. In your heart. You don't have to say anything. He slaps the first one, bass. He turns the second one, he slaps the second one, bass. He slaps the third one, say, this man is not fighting me. Exactly. Kilo Budaniu. Kilo Bojule. He starts becoming afraid of you. Eh? He's not doing anything. Let me leave him alone. Then you know what? It will start touching his heart. This man. And then the next day, is after he slapped you 3 times, you now cook for him and go on. You know, maybe he has a problem in his house. You help him. You pay for it. He'll say, ha! 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 That person will become your best friend. he will say, I've never seen anything like this. Love never fails. Give the Lord a clap of praise. You know our problem? Slap the first one, you slap your own back. You know when you slap your own back, you know what he just told me? You're not rooted and grounded in love. You're not rooted. You may believe in love, but you're not rooted. When you are rooted and grounded in love, you will never retaliate the way the world retaliates. That's how Jesus was. I can never, every time I read that thing, you know, because I have Christ in me. I don't know about you, but I have Christ in me. I'm sure you have Christ in you. You know, but by the grace of God, he has grown in me to quite a big degree. You know, when I read that thing, I feel what he felt that day. I don't just read it all. I feel it. I feel it. Do you know what they did? They blindfolded him. They walked by it here. You have to say it in Yoruba to get the right. If you say it in English, you know, they blindfolded him. This is God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ah, no, Pastor G, this is the guy who just raised Lazarus from the dead a few days ago. They struck him. The English is very weak. Walk by it here. Bass. They blind. And you know what they say? Prophesy. She be prophet, yeah? Prophesy. That look by lady. Now, don't forget to, Jesus was human. He felt it. He not only felt, he felt the insult. But here is a man who is rooted and grounded in love. All that was not going to move him from his position of love. The Bible said he said nothing. All he just was praying for them. You can see that on the cross. Father, forgive koye wani, for they do not know what they are doing. That's love. When you are rooted and grounded in love, irritation will always give way to prayer. That's a word. I'm getting there. I'm not 100% there, but that's why I can preach it from experience. Irritation will give room to prayer. You first of all irritate, get angry, then suddenly just start praying. Then you start knowing you are getting rooted and grounded in love. Because in every situation, you start responding in the spirit and not in the flesh. That's why it's love in the spirit. Whoa. You begin to respond. You're initially be irritated. Irritation will give room to prayer. Anger will give room to prayer. At the thought level now, you release it with your thought. You'd have said it with your mouth. You do it once every 6 hours, as we have taught, and at every opportunity. But in between now, those 6 hours and the opportunities, something happens that irritates you. Something happens that angers you. And naturally that anger will come up. That's fine. Control it. Be angry and sin not. And then the first thing you think in your heart is mercy. Blood. Forgive them, Lord. Life. Power. Help them to change. I've got to preach this to you. Every single one of... My wife brought this out when she preached on what God allows and what God disallows. It was a beautiful, beautiful truth. Putting the blood on the lintels of the house so that the destroyer will not be able to smite that house. I'm going to take that a step further. Each of us is a temple. We're a temple collectively, but you are also a temple individually. You are a mobile Moses tabernacle. You're going around all day. In your own temple, Kashele Bekara, you are the high priest. You're not the high priest in the corporate temple, but in your own temple, you are the high priest. And every morning, like they used to do on the Day of Atonement, you have already prayed and asked God, I confess our sins. Myself, my wife, my children, people in my office, the people God is going to draw to me. So, like the high priest on the Day of Atonement, at the beginning of each day, you have performed an atonement. Then you, just like the priests in the Old Testament, you do a morning sacrifice, you do an afternoon sacrifice, an evening sacrifice, you do a sacrifice for Pentecost, Passover, and making six. Eloka, the thing is wonderful. The way God, you know, by the time you do Day of Atonement, you do Passover, you do Pentecost, these are types and shadows, you do tabernacles, and then you do the morning and the afternoon, you got six. Elijah's arrows. That's what he told him. He said, you should have done it five or six times. Go and check it. So you've already laid down, you know, but that time you are saying, our. That's what the priests of the Old Testament used to do. They would, it doesn't matter who is coming that day, those sacrifices are mandatory. They make a sacrifice in the morning, they make, and then they do it on the feast days, you know. So you do that as an individual temple. Then in the course of the day, people are bringing their sin offerings. So you meet this person and he does something terrible. Amen. You've already sacrificed for him. So we just say, blood, life, power. You just keep. That's why he said, I didn't say not unto thee 77 times. But I say not unto thee 7. I say 70 times 7. You can only do that at the thought level. You can't do it with your mouth. Try it. Can you do it with your thoughts? Hence, the scripture says, we're beginning to round up now. 1 John chapter 5 says, did anybody see his brother sin? How do you see? You see with your mind. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's what I taught last week. It says, you're seeing what God is doing. You're seeing it in your mind. So if you see your brother sin, you say, But as you are seeing it, you just ask for life. Because you've already released it with your mouth. Generally, you now apply to that person specifically. So throughout the course of each day, you're going around giving blood, life, and power. Blood, life, and power. Blood, life. You can now understand why the high priest used to sprinkle seven times. Seven is symbolic of completion. I used to wonder why God put all these funny details inside the Bible. He would tell them exactly. He would say, I read it recently in Numbers in my daily Bible reading. I can't remember the exact place. I think Numbers 13 or 14. You know, he would tell them. He says, you would take the blood of the animal and then you would sprinkle it seven times. Then you would take the oil and then you would place it on the person. Then you would pronounce them healed. That's rooted and grounded in love. So anger, irritation, fear, all these temptations will give way to prayer. They start with the emotion, then it will yield to prayer. The more you yield to prayer, when you're irritated, when you're anxious, when you're worried, when you're fearful, you know, the more you yield to prayer, the more rooted and grounded in love you become. That's how you will know that I'm getting more and more rooted and grounded in love. Next thing, they become rooted and grounded in love. Then this will now cause you, you know, to comprehend. Comprehend means to understand. Because of this corporate walking in love in the Spirit, you get strength from that corporate interaction with the rest of the saints, you know, and it causes you to be able to know the depth, the length, the depth, the height, which I've spoken of, you know, the law of Christ, which is greater than knowledge. So when you meet a Baptist, you can relate to them. You meet an Anglican, you can relate to them. You meet my wife's people, the Catholics, you can relate to them. Years ago, I wasn't like that. I used to be very proud. I didn't know. Happy people you're on Revelation, Joe. You know, and I had this attitude. And I was right, but I was wrong. What I said was true, but the attitude was wrong. It's true they don't have knowledge. It's true they may be wrong in a lot of things. But God still loves them. God will help us to understand it. God still loves them. And God wants to help them. You should be an agent of help. For he has not given us the ministry of condemnation, but a ministry of reconciliation. So when I meet people at different, even non-Christians, even people who are in obvious error. They don't even, you know, they read the Bible upside down. They've twisted the Bible. God tell me, don't condemn. Just love them. Pray for them. See, with time they'll start seeing the light. You know what he said? I got to start closing. He said, I have sheep that are not yet of this fold. They're not Christians yet, but they're still God's sheep. You know who are God's sheep? Men. Not Christians. Ezekiel 34. We think that we are the only sheep. We're not the only sheep. Now, we are the sheep. I understand that. But God has sheep that are not yet of the Christian fold. Potential saints. Give me Ezekiel 34. I think my wife preached this message 30 something years ago. The sheep, the shepherd. And, how do you remember that message? And the sheep fold. I can never forget. You know, you hear there are landmark messages. They go, bing. Anytime I read Ezekiel 34, I remember her message. Look at the last verse. The last verse of Ezekiel 34. The last verse. See, we are praying for Bimbo now. Okay. 34. You see, that's why we have to pray. You see, irritation will give place to prayer. This is practical. But she ain't shaking here. We're going to pray for one. And you are my flock. The flock of my pasture are what? Men. God has sheep that are not of the... So if you meet a Muslim, or you meet a Buddhist, or you meet whoever, relate to them in love. God loves them. Now, I know all of them won't get born again, but that's you. Who are you that judges another? There is one lawgiver who is able to... Can you save? Answer me! Can you destroy? Then relate to them by the lawgiver's rules. Not your own. You can't save. I know. But God still loves them. It's because you don't know the length, the depth, the breadth, and the height of the love of God. That's why you're still behaving the way you're behaving. God is looking for a way of bringing them in. He's not looking for a way of shutting them out. God is not in the business of looking for how he's going to send men to hell. He's looking in the business of rescuing them from hell and taking them to heaven. And he has called you to be a part of that ministry. The ministry of reconciliation and not of condemnation. We have it in our hearts. Well, we revelation knowledge Christians. So arrogant. We think we have monopoly with God. And interestingly, Pastor G and Mommy, Pastor Adam, we do have a monopoly to a sense. You know, we're the tabernacle of David. We are privileged. Mount Zion, elevated on the sides of the north. That's truly who we are. But don't be arrogant. Be like the God you are talking about. God is such a nice person. And even when he sees sinners and he sees bad people, the first thought in his heart is, how can I help them? Now, of course, there are those who won't respond. They will get God's judgment later. I like what Jesus said. He said, any man hears my word, I want every Christian to hold on to this. This is our master talking. He said, and he says, if he doesn't believe this, I judge him not. This is Jesus. Which one is your own? Watch this. But the word that I have spoken, we judge him on the last day. Thank God the last day hasn't come. And it's rude here. The last day hasn't come. So you don't want to finish them. Now if by the last day they still don't change, then they will meet God. But between now and the last day, our job is to bring them in. Are you listening to me? I got to close. So, rooted and grounded in love. He said that you might be, and these last two scriptures blow my mind. And this is in the right sense, not like heroin or cocaine. You know, heroin, cocaine, you know, all those things. What are men looking for? They're looking for a high. You know, guys want to be high. Well, you can get high by getting right with the Most High God. You ain't going to get higher than that. In His presence, there is food, and at His right hand, there are. That's the highest high. Marijuana can't give it to you. LSD can't give it to you. Cocaine can't give it to you. Crack can't give it to you. Jesus can give it to you. Hallelujah. God wants you to be high. Seated at the right hand of majesty on high. God wants us to be high. Now watch this. These two scriptures blew my mind. That you might be filled with all the food. I don't even know what that means. I said, God, explain to me. He said, I just gave you a peep. Instant photographic, incredible photographic memory. Incredible language learning ability. Incredible artistic, incredible musical, incredible mathematical skills. Political, intellectual. Physical, economic, environment. That's what that man in Davos was talking about. They're looking, but how are we going to handle this? That you might be filled with all the food. Then the last verse, and I close. You know what he said? He said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask and think. We have been thinking about PLAM, photographic, language, artistic, mental, mathematical, and musical. We have been thinking about political. God says, I'm going to do above that. When you get filled with my fullness, not only will I do what you have thought, I will do beyond it. Let us pray. Stand to your feet. Talk to God. Rooted and grounded in love. But that's a roadmap. You are not going to get that fullness without being real and grounded in love. You'll be too dangerous. You'll be a loose cannon. God ain't going to give. He's not going to give that fullness. All the fullness of God. He's not going to give it to a guy who's not real. Because the guy will be a killer. You can imagine Jesus. Rooted and grounded in love. The spirit without measure. He said. Peter was trying to misbehave. He said, chill, man. This is 2016 Olubi translation. He said, chill. He said, don't you think I can ask my father now? He would send 12. They would have finished those guys in a second. And he demonstrated it. Because when they first came and said, which one of you just said, I am he. Everybody fell down. He showed he was in control. If they only fell down, they could have fell down dead. If he wanted. He just restrained it. That's what a person who is rooted and grounded in love will do with power. He will restrain it. For you have not come to destroy the lives of men, but to save them. Know what spirit you are of. Talk to God.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, growing from the grave that I found in you. And Lord, I come to know the weaknesses I see.
In the power of your love.
Raise your other head to God, rooted and grounded in love. That should be your aim, folks. Whenever you see yourself get off love, confess your sins, repent of it, and get back on it. Keep practicing it. After a while, you become rooted and grounded in it. You, no matter the irritation, no matter the anxiety, no matter the fear, no matter the problem, you will always respond in love and not in the flesh. Remember what I said, it's a word from God. Irritation will give room to prayer. At the thought level. Now, you don't necessarily have to say it with your mouth, but in the mind. Because what God is looking at is the heart anyway, folks. You can say all the right things in your mouth and your heart is full of horrible things. Say, Lord, have mercy on them. Give love blood. Let the blood cleanse them. Give life to them. And let your power of your spirit come upon them and help them. Even unbelievers. He didn't die for our sins alone, for the sins of the whole world. You have a right. Say, whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. He made you a high priest in your own temple with rights, authority to forgive sin, authority to give life. Use it to become rooted and grounded in love. Raise that hand. Say, Father. I didn't hear you. Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word, this landmark prophetic word that you have brought to me this afternoon, showing me the necessity of becoming rooted and grounded in love so that I can ultimately be entrusted with all the fullness of God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I thank you for this exceeding great and precious promise, making me a partaker of the divine nature, giving me a taste of omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. Oh God, what a great honor. What a great privilege. I don't take it lightly, Lord. I understand and appreciate what you have done and made available for me through the shed blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that you have given to me. Lord God, have mercy on me. Help me to understand better the importance of what you have made available, and then to pursue it relentlessly by your mercy and by your grace, with constant, increasing determination and consecration, until I become rooted and grounded in love, able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of your love towards all men, irrespective of their knowledge. Oh God, help me. Help me to be like you. In Jesus' name. Nekaramashto Fredeges. Liprika Tuske Fredegara Tuske Fred. Luprika Tuske Fredeges. Lupridigi Toske Fredeles. Zilikaras. Sofredelikito Fredengatos. Lupridikaturos. Jekito Fredekramaturos. Tolomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatulomatul Zofrenes, Zofrenias, Tolomos Tufrenes, Zifredelias, Nofridilis,
Jeke tu frides, lumbre deles, tu frineas, du frideles, nikatulos, jeke tu rias, no fridelias, jeke tu fridesk, tulomangaras, gelias, tu frinengas. In Jesus' name.